change your mind, and you'll change everything. Welcome to Nathan's School of Thought.
Hello, my friends. I'm really happy because I have good things to tell you and because the sun is shining today. We've been waiting for that for a long time. So you know that I work with people using a couple of really fantastic tools. One of them is called the Habit Finder Assessment. And when I'm working with someone that I wish to help, that's often a baseline that I use. That assessment helps me understand what patterns of thought are getting in their way. It's unbelievably accurate, and so it's really helpful to say, here's where we're starting, and here's where we're going. Most of you also know that I'm certified in NLP, or Neuro-Linguistic Programming. That is often the best starting place when I'm trying to really help somebody change the way they think, change the way they live, and change their life. When I'm using Habit Finder, I can talk about underlying patterns, things the person may not be aware of, patterns of thought that are getting in their way. When I'm doing NLP, I'm very often identifying things like negative emotions and looking at how they have influenced the way the person sees the world and the current things they're experiencing. I'm also listening carefully to identify what are called limiting decisions. Now, most of you have heard of limiting beliefs, and sometimes we hear people talk about that on social media, or maybe you've talked to a counselor or a friend and they say, well, you have some limiting beliefs. And that's true. But for most of us, it goes much deeper than that. For most of us, we have a number of limiting decisions. That means we take a very complicated thing. It could be a negative emotion, could be an experience we had several years ago, and we make it mean another very complicated thing. Now, some of you are saying, yes, that's a complex equivalence. Yes, it is. But then we decide. This means this. This means that because I felt this way in this circumstance, I'm going to have to hang on to that negative emotion to protect me in case I ever encounter another similar circumstance. Or that means I'm a bad person, or that means, and we decide, okay, from now on, I guess I'm a bad person. The way I'm going to see the world is, well, because we know I'm a bad person, then people won't love me. Because I know that I've got to hang on to anger so I won't be a victim, I'm going to be angry for the rest of my life. It actually becomes a decision. Limiting decisions aren't right. They're just decided. And then we use that as the way we navigate our current world. It doesn't work, but it happens all the time. Whether we're talking about habits of thought, negative emotions, complex equivalencies, or limiting decisions, you'll notice that all of those limit our vision. All of us have a narrower view of the world than we might, and it prevents us from seeing opportunities that we would otherwise see. Opportunities are blocked most often by our own thinking, not by circumstance. I'm going to say that again just to be really clear. Opportunities are more often blocked by our own thinking than by the circumstances we're in. If you want more opportunity, you need to know where to find it, and it will be inside your own mind. For several years, I've traveled all over the world training people, and when I did, I would often carry a short little 24-inch keyboard, and I mean piano-style keyboard, and some software and maybe a microphone, because I would sit in my hotel room and compose things. I had offers to do several film scores and always something legitimate, like my daytime job, got in the way. And it became really cumbersome. And so I decided, well, what's something that I could do? I had never really been interested in photography, but I thought, well, it's the same part of the brain. I wonder if I'd be any good at photography. I researched some cameras and I researched some techniques and I researched some different styles. And I decided, I'm going to take a shot at it. And so I carried a camera with me everywhere I went. And my favorite stuff by far was what some call street photography or documentary style. Capturing moments and stories of things that happened and things that were unique and meaningful to me. I got pretty good at it. At one point, as I was sitting on a plane going through some of the photos that I had taken, the man sitting next to me said, "Whose are those?" I said, "Oh, these are ones that I've taken." "What are you doing on the 26th of next month?" I don't know. What am I doing? He said, "I'll pay you $1,000 an hour to come capture moments like that at my event." Well, you know, being the generous guy that I am, I said yes. And he did pay me $1,000 an hour. Back to the story. As a new photographer, I made a mistake very often that I see a lot of new photographers make. You'll see this all the time. Somebody you know will go to Costco. They'll see that there's a camera package on sale. It's got two kit lenses. One is a zoom. One goes kind of wide. They don't know anything about cameras, but it's a great deal, and they think they might want one for Christmas, and so they get a camera. Then they hang out a shingle and say, "I'm a photographer, and I specialize in family photos and senior portraits." I'm not pointing at anybody in particular. This is just a very common thing. "I do family photos and senior portraits." And then they do some, and they post them on their Instagram account at low resolution because it's Instagram. And everybody says, "Oh, wow, what an amazing photo. That's such a good photo." No, it's a terrible photo. It's a technically terrible photo of a very pretty person. So they might get a senior photo they're doing, and it might be a pretty girl or a handsome guy, and they use the zoom lens, and they zoom in, and they get just the face, maybe from the collar up, and the background is completely blurred out. They're doing that to help the viewer know what to focus on. Focus on this face. This is the person I'm taking a picture of. See this person? And everybody says, "Oh, what a great photo." As I learned more and studied the work of great photographers, I learned that something else was available, a different option, but it was much more difficult. And that was learning to shoot with a very wide-angle lens. When you shoot with a wide-angle lens that takes in everything, the physics make it difficult to blur much of anything. Most of your photo is in focus. It's not like the background completely goes away, though you might do it to a degree. The wider the lens, the more difficult it becomes. When you shoot with a very wide lens, you have a lot of distraction. You have all kinds of things that can be in the picture. It can be cars and architecture and some bright orange cone in the middle of the road, and your subject might be looking toward something else, and the eye is drawn toward the something else, and now we're focusing on the person over in the corner who's actually cutting up fish or something, can't really tell what it is. That's the disadvantage. The advantage is there's way more context. There's a bigger, bolder, often more beautiful story being told in that photo than zoomed in on the pretty senior's face with everything else blurred out. It takes practice. It takes a great deal of practice. It takes a lot of skill. But when you see one of those pictures, it's astonishing how beautiful it is. And you say, "Oh, wow, look at that." And then you say, "Oh, and look at that. Oh, and look at that. Oh, and look at the setting. Wow, what a story this person is telling." It's more difficult. But once you see through the wide-angle lens, you find out there's more opportunity there than there was when you were told what to focus on. Make sense so far? Now, when we're caught up in our limiting decisions, in our negative emotions, in our destructive habits of thought, we're seeing the world through a very, very narrow zoom lens. Only those things that are of greatest concern to us are the ones that are in focus, and everything else is blurry, including opportunities. We can't see the world around us. We can't see the forest for the one tree that we're standing 6 inches from, afraid we're going to scrape our foreheads on the bark. I have no idea where that analogy just came from. That was super weird, but it's kind of like that. We get very close to something that's either very exciting to us or of great concern, and that's kind of the only way we can see it. It's only when you're willing to look through a much wider lens that you can see the multitude of stories available, the incredible number of opportunities that are yours if you only look around. So how do you do that? Well, it's best done with help. It's very difficult to get out of that hyper-focus. It's very difficult to not see the point of focus that you're told to focus on, or the one that's the result of a limiting decision that you can't seem to see past, or the ones that have been told to you your whole life, especially the negative ones, that leave you thinking, yeah, but this is all I'm capable of, or yeah, but this is probably the best decision because I don't know what else to do, or yeah, but this is what I'm good at and I don't know what else there is out there. Those are all limitations you're putting on yourself. Find a wider lens. Now, I can help you a little bit right now. The first thing I can point out to you is it would be helpful for you to sit and write down those things about which you become hyper-focused. If there's something negative that you tend to bring up all the time, write it down. If there's something that you can't stop obsessing about, but you're not sure that opportunity will really come to fruition, write it down. Find those things upon which you tend to focus. Then, with each of those, say, what might surround this that I'm completely unaware of? Now, identifying what you're unaware of is a very difficult thing to do. How am I supposed to know what I don't know about? Well, that is a problem. So doing this all on your own is pretty difficult. That's why I coach people, and that's why I work with businesses coaching them. It's easier for somebody outside of your situation or outside of your head to see what's all around you that you may have missed. But one way or another, do everything you can to broaden the lens. Talk to people about things you've never talked about. Willingly accept the knowledge that there's more out there than you can possibly imagine. And then look for it. Pursue it. Be willing to allow yourself to be vulnerable enough to think, this story might be broader than I believed, and there may be more opportunity for me than I was willing to consider. But now I'm doing something about it. You might share these thoughts with your family and look for opportunities that are available now. You might look for a mentor or somebody that you could chat with and say, am I missing something? I recommend you get a good coach or find somebody who can help you with NLP, habits of thought, any other similar thing. If you believe I might help you with this, go to natewalkercoaching.com and in the contacts area, talk to me about what it is you would like to at least consider, and we can set up a conversation free of charge to talk about what your options might be. Share some of your thinking with those people you trust and tell them what you're trying to do. And as always, please share this podcast with your friends and family or anyone you think may be helped by it. Now, just for fun, I might post a link to some photos I've taken just for those who are curious, but that's not the point of this conversation. Broaden your lens. Open your mind. Look for opportunities. They're everywhere. Trust me. We'll talk again soon.